Okay. Yesterday's daf was daf chaf. Shabbos daf chaf. The Gemara talks about bread. Food is always a good topic. The Gemara says, Mishnah tells that a person is not allowed to glue bread into the oven Erev Shabbos if there's not enough time for the bread to form a crust or to bake. Because if the bread is not fully baked by the time Shabbos begins, there is a concern that the Baal HaBayis will stir the coals of the oven in order to accelerate the baking of the bread. In ancient times, the way bread was baked was dough was prepared, of course, and the dough was glued to the wall of the oven. It's sticky, the dough is sticky, and they stick it onto the wall of the oven, it bakes, and then when the baking is complete, there was a skill in knowing how to properly peel the bread off the wall of the oven. It's called Ridias HaPas, the removal of the bread from the wall of the oven. If you don't know how to remove the bread from the wall of the oven, if you've not been trained professionally how to do this...
You could still see this.
Yeah,
see
Olympic Pizza on Coney Island Avenue.
Jerusalem.
They do. And it's called Lafa.
Lafa?
L-A-F-A.
The bread.
Yeah.
Bread.
Big bread is
there's
big
a thing, they flip it onto the...
The wall, the side of the wall.
Side
yeah.
of the wall.
And they still do it in Pakistan, all that...
Ridiyah Sapas. You have to know how to peel it off the wall. If you don't peel it off correctly, you'll ruin it. You'll rip it to shreds. The Gemara says, Chochma ve'ein melach. Is a skill is involved in removing the oven. Okay, so let me read the words of the Mishnah. There are two opinions in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "A nice than paslatano, one may not insert bread into the oven, stick the dough to the wall of the oven, im chashecha, a few moments before Shabbos begins, v'loi charara, al gabi techolim, a cake, some type of dish you want to put on top of coals, Ela kidei sheyikarmu paneha mibod yom. Unless there is enough time for the bread to form a crust while it's still day, before Shabbos begins. Because if there's not enough time for the bread to form a crust before Shabbos begins, and then Shabbos begins, the bread is not yet complete. There is a concern the Baal HaBayis will stir the coals to accelerate the baking process, and stirring the coals is Chilul Shabbos. Then we have a second opinion. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, Kidei Sheyikroim HaTachtoin Shalom. You don't have, the bread does not need to be fully baked. It's not required. You can let the baking process conclude on Shabbos. Just, it has to be significantly complete. And what is the significant completion of the baking process? The krum hatachton, the lower edge, lower crust, the lower crust of the bread. Okay? Now the Gemara says, what in the world, what's going on? We have two opinions. The Rabbanan says there must be a crust. Doesn't tell us which crust, what part, what crust, what are we referring to? And then Rabbi Eliezer comes to disagree and tells us the crust is the lower crust. So we assume, since there are two opinions in the Mishnah, there's a disagreement. The Chachamim are of one opinion and Rabbi Eliezer is a different opinion. Who is Machma, who is Meka? So that's what the Gemara is really asking. Ein iboyluhu tachton heach the gabe tanur is the tachton that we're referring to. That's touching the wall, the part that's sticking to the wall of the oven. Oidilma tachton heach the gabe or the tachton refers to the part of the bread that's exposed to the flame. Again, the bread is stuck to the wall of the oven. The flame is in the center. The crust is feeling the heat of the fire. So what is the krum? So that's the dilemma. Toshma, Rabbi Eliezer, Oimer Kadesh Sheyikrimu Ponero Hamindubaki Metano, the cross refers to the part that's touching the wall of the oven. What's going on here? So this is a very important Rashi, which Tosfos is very unhappy with. Rashi explains the part that's the Gabe Taner, Shaki Koros Nidvokim Bedoifne Taner, Sov Hilkoch. And here the Gemara gives the answer, medubakim betanur. Rashi's words are v'chumrahi, and Rabbi Eliezer therefore is coming to be machmir v'chumrahi the pnim shaklapehu or mimaharim likram. It forms a crust early. So this means, let's go one step at a time. Rabbi Eliezer is coming according to Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. It doesn't say clearly in the Gemara what Rabbi Eliezer means to say. Rabbi Eliezer is coming to be strict. Let's put it in terms of numbers. Let's say when you stick dough onto the wall of an oven, after 5 minutes, the crust, the outer part of the bread that's exposed directly to the fire, forms a crust.
Right.
But the part that's stuck to the wall is still soft. Mm. It's still sticky. It forms a crust after 10 minutes. Mm. So Rabbi Eliezer says, if you only have 5 minutes left to Shabbos, you're not allowed to stick the dough to the wall of the oven, because being that you only have 5 minutes is only enough time for the outer crust, the outer part of the bread, to form a crust. There's not enough time for the bread to bake well enough that the inner portion of the bread will also form a crust. It's aser. Rabbi Eliezer is machmir. There has to be enough time even for the part of the dough that's stuck to the wall of the oven for it to form a crust. It's machmir. Now, let's go to the next step. If Rabbi Eliezer is machmir, and Rabbi Eliezer is coming to disagree with the Rabbanan, that must then mean that the Rabbanan are lenient.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rabbanan are of the opinion that if you only have 5 minutes left to Shabbos, and there's only enough time for the outer part of the bread to form a crust, it's okay. Even though when Shabbos begins, the part that's stuck to the wall is still soft, and you may be inclined to stir the coals to accelerate the process so that it will harden. No! Since already the outer part of the bread is already hard, a person is relaxed, he's calm, complacent, he's not in any emergency, any rush, and nothing is going to happen. So according to Rashi's understanding, Rabbi Eliezer is machmir, Rashi is explicit, and the Rabbanan are lenient. Now, that in order to get to that approach, this also means the way Rabbi Eliezer explains Rashi is saying, Rabbi Eliezer, what's the Seder Hadvarim? When you take bread and you stick bread to the wall of the oven, the first part of the bread that turns hard is the part that's exposed to the fire. Taisvis Esakash. Kasha is, let me read you the Taisvis. Well, the Parish Akuntras, the Legabe Ho'or Memayr Likraim, from the way Rashi explains the whole Gemara, the part that's exposed to the fire hardens first. That the words, don't worry, I'll send the part that I need. That means, Kol ponecha toshma, Rabbi Eliezer, Oimer, Poishad, Rabbi Eliezer, L'chumra. Fine, okay, I just read basically the Rashi. Umiyu, here's the part that we need. B'Yerushalmi mashma, D'lohok elba. In the Yerushalmi, it's mashma, that Rabbi Eliezer is coming to be lenient. He's not coming to be strict. The Rabban, according to what Rashi explained in the Gemara, you only have to form a crust on one side, the side that is exposed to the fire. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, you have to wait, you have to have 10 minutes. You have to have a double crust. The crust on the outside and the crust on the inside as well. But in the Yerushalmi, it's mashma that Rabbi Eliezer is the one that's lenient. How do we know this? The Kamar Hassam, Umoide Rabbi Eliezer Belechem Haponim. She'ein karui lechem, it's not called bread. Ad sheyikrumu ponov bitanur. So the words their mode is until it turns to mashma. Dehocha sagi bikrimo kolduhu, avol belechem aponim beinon krimo ma'alio. In the Yerushalmi, the Gemara is discussing the issue: at what point in time does the lechem aponim get kedushas? Where the laws of Me'ilah apply. There are laws of Me'ilah as the ultimate Kedusha, that if a person will now eat the bread, he'll be chayef to bring a karbon asham. At what point in the preparation process are the lechem hapon that's put on the shulchan, do they get Kedusha? And Rabbi Eliezer says, here you have to be machmir. Here you have to wait until the entire crust forms, which means both the inside and the outside. Which then means, but in this contrast, not like by Shabbos, not like in Masechta Shabbos where you only have 5 minutes left to go, and you only have a certain amount of time to go, and if you're going to stick the dough to the wall of the oven, it's not going to be fully baked by the time Shabbos begins. There you can be makel. There you don't need the full crust to form, both crusts to form. One crust is enough. It's only here, when it comes to lechem apanim, it's not called bread. The process is not complete until you have a crust on the inside and on the outside. So from the Yerushalmi, it's mashma. This is going to change everything. There's a lot going on here. So I want to bring out this point. I'm going to bring out nachmi alocha l'maisa. Bisman hazeh. But what's going on over here is, yeah. Let me work backwards. We are of the assumption here that when you put bread in the oven, the first part that forms a crust is the outer part, the part that's exposed to the fire, because that's in proximity to the fire. Then the part that's touching the wall turns a crust. Who says? Just the opposite. The part of the dough that's stuck to the wall is coming in direct contact with a hot material. The wall is burning hot. So the part that's stuck to the wall is what forms a crust first. And then the part that's exposed to the flame forms a crust. Now if that's correct, that the order is not from fire to wall, but it's from wall to fire, and Rabbi Eliezer says that you have to have enough time for the part of the bread that's touching the wall to form a crust, Rabbi Eliezer is lenient. So when the Rabbanan and the Mishnah say that you're not allowed to put bread into the oven before Shabbos unless it forms a crust, the Rabbanan say, what crust? Even the crust that's facing the fire. Even the part of the bread that's facing the fire, which means you need 10 minutes before Shabbos begins. Because what's the process? The process is first the part of the bread that's touching the wall gets hard, and then the part of the bread that's facing the fire gets hard. Two-step process. The Rabbanan said you need both parts of the bread to get hard in order to be permitted to put this bread on in the oven before Shabbos begins. You need a full 10 minutes. Rabbi Eliezer says, I disagree. I'm lenient. Only has to form the crust on the tachton. And what's the tachton? The Gemara's maskana. Tachton means the part of the bread that's touching the wall of the oven. The wall of the oven only takes 5 minutes, not 10 minutes. So Rabbi Eliezer is coming to be lenient. The Rabbanan say you need a full 10 minutes. First the wall, then the fire. Rabbi Eliezer says you don't need 10 minutes, you'll need 5 minutes, just the wall. Now the Yerushalmi makes perfect sense. This, that, Rabbi Eliezer, I'm lenient, you only need bread to form a single crust, the part that's touching the wall, that's only true when it comes to Shabbos. But when it comes to Lechem Aponim, I'm machmir. I don't consider the bread to be have the kedush, the full sanctity of Lechem Aponim, unless you have both the back, the part that touches the wall, the part that touches the fire, the exposed to the fire. So it comes out completely different interpretation of the Gemara according to Rashi and Tosfos. Let's review. According to Rashi, it's mashma that the process of bread turning hard goes from first the fire, the part of the bread that's exposed to the fire, and then the part of the bread that's exposed to the wall. If that is correct, and the Gemara concludes that Rabbi Eliezer requires the part that's touching the wall to turn hard, Rabbi Eliezer basically holds that you have to have both parts of the bread turning hard. Because in order for the part that's touching the wall to get hard, it automatically means that the part that was exposed to the fire first became hard. Because that's the Seder HaDvarim. Rabbi Eliezer is being machmir. If Rabbi Eliezer is being machmir, the Rabbanan, who's the Bar Pelukta, is being makel. You only need the part of the bread that's exposed to the fire. That's according to Rashi's interpretation. Taisa's bottom line is no, just the opposite. The Seder Hadvarim is the part of the bread that gets hard first, the part that touches the wall, and then the part of the bread that gets exposed to the fire. And being there, Rabbi Eliezer says you only need the part of the bread that touches the wall to get hard. He's being lenient. You only need the first part of the process to be complete. There are Rabbanim who are disagreeing. We don't really know what Rabbanim say. It's not clear. They hold no. You need Rabbanim are of the opinion that you need. You need both. Rabbanim being machmir. Now the only problem though is that Tais is a clear proof that he's right, because the Gemara in Masechta the Talmud Yerushalmi, when it discusses the laws of lechem aponim, says clearly that Rabbi Eliezer is more lenient by Shabbos than he is by Lechem Aponim. And by Lechem Aponim you need both. You need both, and here you only need one. So Tais does indeed have a proof to his approach in the Gemara. So the problem though is, how are we going to solve Rashi's problem? How are we going to answer the Gemara according to Rashi? The Yerushalmi appears to be a raya to Taisis. How will Rashi survive Taisis Kasha? So the answer is given by the Prima Gadim, and he says another Madrega. The truth is, Rabbi Eliezer here, Masechta Shabbos is Machmir. You have to have both parts of the bread form a crust. The Seder Hadvarim is first the part that's exposed to the fire, and then the part that touches the wall. Oh, but Yerushalmi says that in the Masechta Shabbos, Rabbi Eliezer is lenient. The Gemara here is only discussing two sides of the bread. A piece of bread has six sides. It's a three-dimensional object. There are six sides. What about the other four sides? So the Metziah says, when you take a piece of bread and you stick it into the wall of the oven, the part that's touching the oven, that turns hard, and the part that's exposed to the flame turns hard. The part that's exposed to the flame turns hard right away, and the part that's touching the wall turns hard right afterwards. But the other four sides, that's Rashi. The other four sides don't turn hard so quickly. That takes even more time. It takes 15 minutes. After 5 minutes, according to Rashi, the part that's exposed to the fire becomes hard. After 10 minutes, the part that's touching the hot burning wall becomes hard. After another 5 minutes, 15 minutes, then the remaining four sides turn hard. So when it says that the Yerushalmi says that Rabbi Eliezer is lenient by Shabbos and is machmir by the lechem aponim, the way the Prima Gadim learns the Yerushalmi according to Rashi is that by lechem aponim it does not achieve a state of kedusha of bread of kodesh until all six sides turn hard. Whereas Shabbos, you only need two sides to turn on. Okay, so this is a nice Gemara. Machlekes Rashi, Taisis. There's a machlekes in the Mishnah between Rabbi Eliezer and Nachum. We don't know who's being machm, who's being makel. All we know is Rabbi Eliezer holds the part that touches the wall has to turn hard. Is that a kula or a chumra? It all depends on the process. What turns hard first? Does the part that's touching exposed to the fire turn hard first? Or is the part that's touching the wall? Machlekes Rashi and Taisis. We shall be primogon to answer Rashi's kasha. How is this nogi halacha l'maisa? Let me read you a halacha in Shulchan Aruch in the Simen Kuf Samach Zayin. There's a halacha. This applies even during the week and certainly on Shabbos. When you break bread, what do you cut first? What do you cut first? What?
The crust.
Why the crust?
Bake better
or bake first? Bake better or bake first? If it's baked first, it's baked better because it doesn't stop, right? When the process of baking is over, whatever was baked first is the most well baked, right?
You're talking about bread.
Bread, challah.
The bottom.
So you're saying that the bottom, first of all, we're getting into complication because our bread today is not glued onto a wall of an oven. It's on a tray. And where is he coming from? So it's not so simple that we can really
we compare the way our bread is baked today to the way the bread is baked in the time of Chazal. But you should know, some disagree. Some say that the tray where the bread is, the point of the Gemara is when the bread is glued to the wall of the oven, it's in contact with a hot surface, and the hot surface is also being heated by the oven. So the combination of the heat and the hot surface caused that part. So that would apply today as well. It's on a tray. The part that's on the tray is
parchment paper. Also,
that parchment is after you take it out of the oven. After you take it out of the oven, you put the parchment paper in the oven. The parchment will burn in the oven. That's after you take it out of the oven to the parchment paper.
With the parchment paper.
You put it in the oven with the parchment paper?
The bread on chal on top of the parchment paper on the tray in the oven.
And the parchment goes in the oven?
Yeah, no. Special paper.
It's called that.
Doesn't burn? Okay, so it's true. It's not so simple to compare the case of the bread, but the Shulchan Aruch, there are some similarities, and we do at least preserve at least the flavor of the halacha. And the Shulchan Aruch at least is discussing, when the Shulchan Aruch discusses halacha, the Shulchan Aruch is discussing the same type of oven. He's discussing that nothing has changed. Shulchan Aruch, the way he records the halacha, nothing has changed. So let me read you the halacha when it says in the Mishnah Berurah.
What? Sorry, you put the challahs like this back.
Sideways.
Like this, because it's baked better.
What do you say? Better. Sideways. You can cut it sideways. Can you cut it sideways? You're cutting both at the same time.
It's because it's baked better. Like, so you hold them.
Okay, let me read what it says here. So here we have here in Simon Kof Samach Zion. It's a little Simon. It's a little teeny Simon. Kof Samach Zion. How come I can't find it?
Right.
What?
That was King Menashe's question.
Right.
Menashe, but
where do you cut?
Where do you cut the bread? He didn't know the answer. Right. That's right. That's right. Forgot about that. Okay. Kuf Samach Zion. Beitzea bepas b'mokoyim shenefo heitev. You break the bread, you cut with your challah knife on the part of the bread that has been baked yof heitev, well. Now then, in parentheses, the Ramah takes note that guess what? Today, modern times, when he wrote his commentary, we'll pass Didon, which he's already acknowledging that the bread of the Ramah, the Ashkenaz, is not the way bread was baked in by the Sfaradim against the wall of the oven. Yesh levtsoya betzad ha-pas, on the side of the bread. Side of the bread. The side of the bread is the least baked of the bread. Not the top. It's nice and shiny. It's only shiny because they smear eggs. Yeah. It's not really shiny because it's well baked. But the side is the less baked. It's least hard. It is less hard. I mean, I don't know if it's hard because of the egg. It has an effect on it and becoming hard. But v'yachtech ma'at mitzad ha'elyoin v'hatachtoin. So when you do it on the side, when you're doing it on the side, the nail, the knife is cutting through the top and the bottom. Let me read the Mishnah Berurah. He explains this. But say the pass b'mokoyim haynu li'achar shnatol yadav le'achil avreitzel levarich alechem lechol haya b'tzel l'chvoir abracha b'mokoyim shnef heitev the haynu b'mokoyim hakoshe, the part of the bread that's hard. Now you're saying there are different types of hard.
But also, the Ramah's oven
yeah.
is different.
Exactly. That's
our oven. Like the Ramah's oven.
Correct.
The Ramah's oven is different than mine.
Okay. You're right. All these are issues. Okay, well, let's just see what it says. Now we can at least get a sense of today. But all comes from this Gemara. Everything is coming from this little Gemara, Masechta Shabbos, from the Machlokes, Rashi, and Tosfos. It all is traced. How are we going to apply it to that? Like you said, there'll always be another opinion. Because you're going to say this oven, that oven, you can't compare this, that. You're right. Absolutely. But let's at least trace it to the source. And the source, where it all will come from, is Daf Chof in Masechet Shabbos, Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Something you do every single Shabbos. And even every day, if you break bread on a full loaf of bread, it's the same halacha. So we don't generally break on full loaves of bread, so then it doesn't make any difference. That's the next halacha. It's a piece of bread, it's a piece, then it doesn't make any difference. But if you're cutting on a shalem, you're supposed to cut the part that's well baked first. You're supposed to do in the part that's hard and not in the middle where it's soft. What does the Ramon mean? The Gros is, what does it mean, didon, our bread? So who are din b'tanurim shalohen? It's not only in ours. The same issue is their breads and their ovens. She medabkin b'pas b'tzidei hataner gam kein dino hacha. He says the same will apply. Basically, the same will apply because v'ayin ber halacha, which I'm going to read to you in a moment. Because basically, the Gra is going to say it's machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. It's not like it's Rashi and Tais. Let's talk about their ovens. Let's not get our ovens. Their ovens. Ancient oven. You stick the dough on the wall of the oven. Which part of the bread is baked well? The part that goes first. Because whatever goes first is going to be baking for a longer period of time. Well, according to Rashi's interpretation, what's the Seder Hadvarim? Rabbi Eliezer is Machmir. The part that's well baked is the part that faces the oven. The shiny part, the part that they put the eggs on. According to Tosfos, the part that's baked the most is the part that's stuck to the wall. So what does he mean of it? We don't know that. That's what Halam Farshim Shan the Gra saying, why is Rama making an issue out of this? Only our breads, Bizman Hazen, our modern day ovens, where the heat comes from here, from over there, and it's on a tray, and we don't stick it to the wall of the bread. So we don't really know in our modern day ovens which part of the bread is baked well, was the most. So therefore we do make a compromise and we put it on I'll basically tell you what it says in Lawid and Sar. Basically what we do is ideally you should take the bread and cut it sideways. You don't cut it from the top going down. You take it and you turn it on the side and you cut it on the side. Because cutting on the side, the knife is cutting through both the top and the bottom. So you've been mekayim both. So the Gra saying this is true. You should do the same thing even if you're dealing with bread from the time of the Gemara. Because time of the Gemara, we don't know which part gets baked first, the front or the back. So also do it on the side. The pass be done. I remember how Grosh and Pak be done. Who are then? Next, Gimel Bitzara pass. The Gemara Esau, the Gemara, it says, Shebetzea b'mokam shehischla pass likroim ulispashel, where the pass begins. The Gemara clarifies. The Heitev means, why it's called Heitev? Because that's where it starts. The part that it starts is the part that will be Heitev. And that's Mamash Hawa Gemara. That's our sugya. Where does it start? Machlekes, how much time do you need before Shabbos begins? Yesh, v'yesh, mipoiskim, shesfirulei, du tzad ha'elyoin. The part that it starts is the upper part that's exposed to the flame. Me'apashu neged avir ha'taner. V'yesham, shetzad ha'tachtoin. Mispashel t'chila, shemunach al karko is ha'taner, which is in contact with the floor or the wall of the oven. L'chein tzorich lachtech min atzad. You cut, ideally it should be cut from the side, meho elyon vehatachtoin, and that way the knife is cutting through both at the same time, v'yotzo yidei shneihem. V'yesham, some say, shetov shiachtech b'tzad shuhu k'neged tzad hamisbakeah. Some say that you should cut on the part of the bread that bursts forth. It's a whole new approach. I'm not sure. Today the challahs are neat. But it seems that if you just have a lump of bread, a lump of dough, sometimes the heat causes a certain portion of the dough to burst forth. So the part that bursts forth, that shows an indication. That was the part that's where it began. The baking began. And today, due to the little technology and the way the bread is baked, I don't know if we really have that because it's needed in a certain fancy way.
And they do
certain things. They smear these different ingredients and there's certain heat, temperature control. So it's different. But if you do have a situation where you have dough and you can see the certain part burst forth, oh, that's the part of the bread that began to bake first, and that's the part you should cut first. Kibizat sat hischelafus the nitcha ha'isa, the dough was pressurized until it burst hatzad shekenegdu opposite that area. Now then he goes on to discuss the law of a broken piece of bread. Okay, now let me redo the ber halacha. We passed didon. Why did it say didon? The ber halacha asks mishum the begamor isa the tzarich levarach hamotzi meicha the mokum shapas. The קודם הפס לספשו, והנה התנורים שהיו בזמן השס, דרכון היה להדביק הפס בדופני התנור. They would stick the dough into the wall of the oven, like we learned now in Gemara. וסביר לי דשום, בין חלק או עליון שבקיקר, בין התחתם, נדבק בדופני התנור, שניהם מסחילים להיאופוס בזמן אחד. So they would begin to bake in one shot. V'imkhen abotzeh b'mokim sheyirtzeh oy me'elyoin shebekikar oy me'atachten shebekikar. So he's saying a chiddush. The Ramah is saying that the mechaber is not really being machriya between Rashi and Tosfos. You can do whatever you want, because the truth is both parts of the bread begin to bake simultaneously. It's machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, which one goes first, which one is heidet, but they're both good enough, and therefore the mechaber is the wisdom of the mishnebuah is learning pshat in the mechaber. The mechaber is saying, do whatever you want; it doesn't make a difference. Either cut from the top, cut from the bottom, because that's where it's begun. One began one before the other. Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. So mashenkin b'tanum shalanu, but our ovens in our time shemunach apas al karkas atanur shemischanein tchila michoim hoei shemunach alav yesh oimim shasham masal apas lefos tchila v'yesh oim shatzaru elyon hu mispashal tchila shul tzaru avir v'imkin kasev aramod yachtech miat mitzaru elyon v'atachten. You do on the sides. You do it sideways, and then the Gros says, and we run through this over here. I am Bir Hagros. What are you talking about? The same way the Ramah says that our breads. Bismanazeh, we don't really know which one is baked first because we can't figure out how it works. Time of the Gemara. That's the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. So why is the Ramah? Why is the Mechaber being so vague about this? So it's not only the done. Shaykh kam b'tanum shabizman az shas. V'nishar al haramah b'tzorich iyon. The Grod doesn't understand the Ramah, why the Ramah says our breads. The same way there's a dilemma when it comes to modern breads in the 21st century, you have this exact same dilemma when it comes to breads at the time of the Gemara, because of the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Tarlam shad in the Gemara. And he leaves it to the tzorich iyon. Okay, so that's basically the gist of this halacha. I just thought it was very interesting how we machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, and how it applies to it. One of the very small point I want to point out, just to take 10 seconds, is that this is an expression in the Gemara today. I always wondered about this. This expression, B'nai Torah, you always ask me about Das Torah. You gave me that excellent article from Liechtenstein about Das Torah. Yeah, you gave it to me.
Oh, you gave it to me.
So where does it come from, this expression, Das Torah? I have another question. When is the B'nai Torah? B'nai Torah. You always say that it's a Ben Torah. It's a beautiful expression. You want to say the person, he's holding my learnings, the Yerush Shemayim, he goes, he's a Ben Torah. I always wonder, when is that...
What level must you reach?
And what does it mean? And where does it come from? When was it coined?
What do you got to do to get it?
When was it coined, and what does it mean? So here on yesterday's daf, Rashi tells us what it means. Rashi, at least it existed 900 years ago. Rashi was born 1040. And Rashi here says, Kehanim Zerizim. So what does it mean, Zerizim? So Rashi says, okay, the Kehanim are trusted in the Beis HaMikdash, they can ignite a campfire, and we're not afraid they're going to stir the twigs and the branches on Shabbos, because Kehanim Zerizim. A regular person out in his home can, because we don't trust Baraka. Rashi, Haim, because the Kohanim is Rizim Haim, Shekulam Hayu B'nai Torah. They were B'nai Torah. Rashi here invented the phrase. It existed at least 900, maybe existed even before that. But at least it existed 930 years ago. The Charedim. That's a modern term. Charedim was a negative term only 30, 40 years ago. I heard someone speak about this. Maybe it was Shachter. Right? J.J. Shachter gave a drasha. He was telling us that years ago you would never say about a Ben Torah he's a Haredi. That's an insult. That means he's like an Islamic fundamentalist. The same way they insult, if you go tell a guy on the street you're an Islamic fundamentalist, they'll say, no, I'm not. How dare you call me that? That's an extreme term. A Haredi, that's how you refer to a negative term. Today, it's accepted. It's another synonym for Ben Torah.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
From the word Charedi,
that's the kosherization of the Haredim.
Yeah. How did this happen? No one knows. It just slowly evolved.
Sometimes you take on an insult as a badge of honor.
30 years. It took 30 years in the making. He gave a shiur on this. That this, you go look, go study the newspapers from 30-40 years ago, the Israeli newspapers. It was never used only in a negative way. Today, it's a term. Yeah, fanatic. Fanatic, extremist, chutzlamach. Today, it represents a very significant segment of society in not a negative way. This is who they are.
It was the term they used.
It's very respectful.
He said he was a dati.
Right.
Yeah, but
so today they'll say Haredi.
They use Haredi as a public derogatory too now.
He also left wing publications you see, which refer to religious Jews as a dati.
Right. But today it's not an insult. So, shall b'nei Torah v'charedim v'niskarm v'lo asu lasuim mishdash. Now, we work backwards. So, what is a ben Torah according to Rashi's vocabulary? What is a ben Torah? Okay, go ahead. But it's a zoris. A zoris. Meticulous. Zoris means meticulous, diligent. Diligent and meticulous. So, we have over here two things. We have a revelation that this term already existed in the time of Rashi. And number two, we have a definition. A zoris. What is a zoris? That's already easier. Meticulous and diligent. So at least we have a mahalach v'taych, the word, a word of a ben Torah, and it's also used in connection with the word Haredi. Okay, we'll stop here.
I'm sorry.